My skin is so sensitive that I have moved to being someone where unless work demands it, I just do electric razor on a low stubble setting.
So you're a dry shaver. Sure. I'm a dry shave too.
I am a dry shaver with like cornstarch powder.
What?
Is what I do. That's what I learned from like hair and makeup people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, why?
Because if you're using like an electric razor, it gets gunked up if you're using any sort of like cream or gel or anything like that. But my skin's so sensitive, they're like, you shouldn't do direct contact.
There's
so they were like,
so
you should use baby powder, but then baby powder turned out to cause cancer.
Right.
So now I have to buy cornstarch powder, and then I just this do like a stubble shave.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to say it's very possible that wet shaving might be like with like
a straight razor.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely, it felt like they were talking about that a lot, but it didn't feel like it was exclusive. It felt like that's probably the cornerstone of these guys.
Sure.
They believe nothing's better.
Right.
And they have terms like BBS shave. Which is a baby bottom smooth shave.
No.
I feel like if I tried to shave myself with a straight razor, I would bleed out within minutes. Like, yeah, 100%. I'm almost positive I would hit the jugular.
I found this podcast out of the question of, like, is there a podcast just about shaving? Then I was like, this is kind of incredible. I'm going to listen to this regularly. And then after three episodes, I was like, I can't. I'm done.
Do you read our reviews, by the way? This is the beginning of season two. And we talked about this a little bit over the break. Do you read reviews?
No, I don't read anything. I don't read anything that's a review or a comment.
You don't read anything about the podcast. You are illiterate.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do. Specifically the one stars. I'll every once in a while go through the one stars. Two big criticisms of this show that came up. One is too many friends. We have too many friends on the podcast.
Oh, how dare you.
I know. And the other is we don't go hard enough on people. So season two, Matt, the theme of season two is no friendship, no mercy.
Welcome to Inbox, the show where we gain access to our guests' digital correspondents and mine their personal lives for comedy gold. I am Matt Strauss.
And I'm Nicole Dressbell. And our guest this week from The Tick and Blank Check is Griffin Newman.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the show. I feel incredibly vulnerable.
Good. That's what we want.
Yeah,
good.
Vulnerable, but maybe not like horribly vulnerable. Slightly.
I'd say pretty close to horribly vulnerable okay. for me. I mean, I feel like you experienced firsthand in trying to schedule this episode that I'm not particularly good at responding to things.
Yeah, did you like my passive-aggressive response today that just acted like it had been confirmed?
I loved it.
Thank you so much.
Most of my friends have learned to react that way to me.
That's great.
To just assume if I don't say no, that that's my way of confirming.
I love that.
So I like that you picked up on that, but I think what we're going to find in digging through my inbox, it will follow suit.
Why?
Yep.
I have a tremendous amount of generalized anxiety as a person, and I think that manifests in, if I get an email, I overthink how I want to respond to it. So I do one of two things. I either go, I can't even deal with this right now, which of course, fallacy, because in the time in between, more emails will fill up the inbox.
Yes.
But then there's the other thing, even if I'm feeling okay, the sort of self-imposed pressure I put on myself to respond correctly.
Right.
You know? Of just, I overthink it and start drafting it in my head.
And which almost feels like you've now done the mental work of writing it, and you're too tired to actually move on to write it.
Now, here's another problem. I wrote the email in my head, didn't write it, and very often, I forget whether or not I've written it.
This is a revelation for me because I think when people emailing you probably assume that you're being flippant or aloof.
100%.
But you are actually being extremely conscientious. You're being the exact opposite.
Of course, that is the effect. I am failing to respond to their emails.
It's invisible conscientiousness.
But it is an over-consciousness and a pressure I put on myself. There's a weird thing I've tried to drop in the last couple of years where I used to feel a pressure of, man, I want people to get my emails and go, wow, he's a good writer.
Oh, no.
That horrible thing,
yeah.
Right? I think I've dropped that in the last 5 years. But I still feel like I want to respond to things appropriately.
Right.
Where even if they are an easy answer, I am someone who is so overly sensitive that I quadruple think every word choice.
I mean, it's interesting that you said you want to be thought of as a good email writer.
I dropped that, but I did.
And I think you should, because I feel like Jonathan Franzen and Natalie Portman sort of ruined good email writing.
I think so
like
as well.
It's tainted. Like there's just something so gross now about writing a good email.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like you recognize, you know, in other people the behaviors you hate most in yourself.
Of course.
And not only that, did you folks dig into the Sony hack emails at all?
Not very much.
Because they were incredible. And the thing that kind of changed my mind in them is that they are all so horribly written.
Yes.
But the intent comes across so well. Like, they're the opposite of the Franzen Portman emails, which are, like, so sort of, like, gnarly and like,
crafted.
Dense and crafted and sort of weirdly unemotional in how much they're trying to evoke an emotional response. Yeah. And then you read the Sony hack emails, which are, like, you know, the head of Columbia Pictures emailing with, like, Channing Tatum.
Right.
And, like, the executive shareholders of, like, Sony as a company. And it's Channing Tatum, like, CCing all of them in all caps after, like, 22 Jump Street open, being like, fuck yeah, we own the world!
Yeah.
And they're just, like, riddled with typos, no punctuation. They feel like they're, like, dictated through Siri. And I've knocked off wanting to have flowery emails.
Great.
But I still haven't gotten over the hump, which maybe we can kind of chip at a little bit today.
I think we have a way to get into that right away.
Yes, oh, wow.
We absolutely do.
Okay.
Hey, Rachel, can you come log us into the computer?
Computer logged itself out. Thank
computer
you, Rachel.
Logged itself out. Thank you, Rachel.
Logged itself
can we
out.
Change the power saver settings on this thing.
Yep.
I mean, here's something that's tied into everything we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We're using Rachel's computer.
Yes.
Because my computer barely works right now.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that. How old is this computer?
I would say it's probably 4 or 5 years old.
Okay.
So it's like
It should.
Yeah. But the Macs, you know, they hit their wall.
Sure.
Yeah, but that's like a 45-year-old in like people years, dog years, it's like 45.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
That's not like an ancient computer.
Isn't it crazy though
I didn't know what you were saying with that.
You get it now?
Yeah, now okay. I get it. Yeah.
Do you folks have that thing where you go to the airport and you see, like, a businessman going through security take out, like, a 96 Dell computer? And you're like, so we all jump ship to the ones that were, like, cooler and faster in the moment. But meanwhile, every 4 years we have to change and this guy's still rocking his, like, Windows XP.
Yep.
I have not been getting a new computer because I get stressed out trying to figure out which computer's the right one to get.
What do you have right now?
I have a MacBook Air.
And I'm having the same thing of like, well, I just want to buy this computer again. But they don't make it anymore.
No. And the differences between the new Airs, which they skipped a cycle with Airs and now it came back.
Yep.
But they're kind of exactly the same as the
yep.
main MacBooks and even yes. the MacBook Pros in terms of size.
Yes.
But the Air is more expensive, even though it has less.
But it's like vaguely lighter. I know. It's all very stressful.
I have a back problem. So I'm like, is it worth it to get the one that's vaguely lighter?
Right.
I did. Okay. So first email now here in the inbox, security alert, new device signed into your email.
Well, that's good.
That's the Rachel computer program. Okay.
Okay. So we're looking at this and we're looking at what isn't not an absurd unread, which is 1,293. Which
okay.
is not the craziest we've seen.
That makes me feel a lot better right off the gate.
Yeah.
I
oh,
was worried
sure.
I'd be breaking the bank.
No. You're okay.
My phone is synced to several email accounts. Mm-hmm. This is the main one I use. Waving to producer Ben, employee of Audio Boom. My phone is synced to all my other email accounts that I use less.
Right.
And that number, I think, is revolting.
Oh, okay. Well, now you have to tell us what
that number is. like 4,000 and change.
It's still not the craziest I've seen.
Really? I feel so good right now.
A 10,000, didn't we?
Really?
Yeah, until you're hitting 5 digits, I'm not worried. Well, we don't need to go through your whole inbox. We've got some. I mean, this is what's wild about this, and this is something I've never seen before,
okay.
is we've got reds and unreds just like indiscriminately alternated.
I forget to delete emails after I've read them.
Oh, that's fair.
As an anxious person, doesn't this, like opening this up,
of course.
Add to your anxiety?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but Matt, if anxiety was a thing that.
Right.
I mean, that's not how anxiety
right.
works.
My apartment is also a mess perpetually. You know,
right.
I mean, there are
I
a thousand things like this.
You can hire someone for that, though.
I know. I've
hire
been emailing Marie Kondo a lot.
No,
that's one email that's not
do.
In my inbox.
That's not something you should do.
Still not responding.
That's not what you should do. Okay. So, Griffin, we're going to help you.
Okay.
You are concerned about your running emails. So, Matt and I are going to help you
okay.
by a little segment we call Email Roulette.
Email Roulette.
So here's how email roulette works. This is a introduction for Griffin, refresher for people tuning in. We want you to think of a person from your past you don't want to email. And Matt and I are going to help you write an email to that person. At the end of the show, if you get a trivia question wrong, you will be sending that email.
A person from your past or present?
Yes.
Okay. Now, here are some follow-up questions.
Please.
I'm pretty good at trivia. What subject?
Oh, internet?
It's yeah. Okay, so it's going to be within the realm of internet trivia.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, then I have the person in my head.
Excellent. Great. So tell us about...
May I throw one caveat in there as a reminder? Yeah. Keep in mind that sometimes people hear podcasts, even though you're not, this person's name isn't going to be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they might hear That's and happened. Know that it's them. It happens the most improbable of ways. Yes.
Yeah, I've experienced this. I have been Great. Hoisted by this petard.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course. You have your own podcast.
I've been doing press lately for The Tick.
Yes.
Between the podcast.
Yes.
Between going on other people's podcasts. Between doing like phone interviews and stuff. The amount of time I'm spending talking to people in a way that will end up on the record.
Ugh.
Yeah. Right. That's my feeling. It's just like yeah. I'm going to get myself in trouble at some point.
But you know, when you are in an interview situation, you do find yourself like, oh my God, what am I saying right now? You 100%. Know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
There's this weird thing where your car goes off the road so fast.
You're also
what
playing.
What did I say? There's right. also that. You
You're
play
also
it back.
Playing yourself. You're not being yourself.
Right.
Which I think is.
I'll tell you the short version of this story.
Yeah.
I think this is the cleanest way to say it without getting in trouble again.
Right.
And once again, the trouble I got in was justified.
Okay.
I fully I agree wait. With it.
Yes.
I used to work in retail. I used to work as a greeter at the Disney store where there was literally a script of what you needed to say to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times doing interviews, especially if you're promoting one thing as I have been, you get the same questions over and over again.
Of course.
So you start to have that sort of automatic
right.
reflex where you've developed, this is the cleanest way for me to say this thing. And then you have that out-of-body moment where you're like, I'm not consciously saying these words. That's scary. But then the flip of it is, if someone asks you a question that you're totally unprepared for, you suddenly are like, oh, fuck, I don't have a yeah. pre-written. You're yep. like filing through.
Yep. Yep.
So I was asked a question that I was not prepared for,
right.
that had nothing to do with any of the things I've trained myself to do.
Right.
I don't know what to say, and went through the file super quick.
Yep.
And what I pulled out was a stand-up routine from when I was 19.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And?
And the stand-up routine was very much not the routine of someone who is currently in a relationship.
Oh, my God. I'm just... Oh, okay. Okay.
With a person I love.
I almost said the words, I'm so happy, and that's not what I mean. That's bad. Sure. That's an inhuman sure. response.
It was me doing a bit about a thing that happened when I was in middle school.
Right.
Which is substantially creepier now from the mouth of a 30-year-old as opposed to a 19-year-old.
Of course.
So it was like a double whammy.
Yep.
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 Yeah.
Oh, boy. So the person you got in trouble with is a person
girlfriend.
You care about very much.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Right,
okay.
right. Yeah, a
and
person I,
guess
I love.
When
yes.
I say I love this, I just mean like, okay, I'm glad that it was not random internet disappointment that you then had to make emotional space for.
No,
and
but
also,
I have dealt with
like
that
you've...
too.
Oh, yeah, that's what I assumed. Who are we emailing?
Who are we emailing?
Griffin.
Have a bad back. I injured myself yes. During filming the last season of The Tick. And there was a person who emailed me right before I got injured.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the following weeks where I was kind of a mess.
Right.
I did not respond.
Right.
And they preemptively sent an email that was like, yep, why did I ever think that you would change your ways?
Oh, okay.
Wait, so
of course you never
responded. This person was checking in on you?
Before. We were doing a catch-up email. We had... A little back and forth.
Right.
Not aware of the back injury.
Then I injure myself.
Yes.
But that injury was after she had sent email in response.
Right.
So then weeks went by where I didn't respond to that email.
Right.
And then she sent email saying like, yep, why would I think you would ever change?
Wow. Now I have so and that was the last correspondence?
Yes. And that probably would have been August.
I have a thought on this, Nicole, and I want to hear if you're leaning the same way. This
right.
email needs to be written one of two ways.
Yes.
Either... trying way too hard to make it sound the language sound amazing or the exact opposite?
It's the yeah. exact opposite. We're,
I think it's
we're
the
going
exact
for,
opposite.
We're going for Channing Tatum.
Okay.
22 Jump Street.
Because here's the okay. exact problem. I have not written this email that I know I should write because the longer it goes, the higher the bar becomes in my mind of how good the email has to be.
Oh, interesting. If you get the trivia question right, you're never responding to this. Bury it, move.
You think I bury it? Wow.
Well,
is this a friendship that like you'd like to try salvage? What's the goal here?
That's a really healthy question.
You know what? That's a very healthy question. The impetus is I feel bad.
Okay.
Yes, but okay. But what do you want to accomplish with the sending of your email? Because I do not think that you are one email away from fixing that.
I don't either. I feel like what I would like to accomplish is to make her feel less bad.
Right.
But I also don't know if that's possible.
Well, yes. And I was also going to say you can't control how other people feel.
Exactly.
So what do you want to at least walk away from the experience feeling that you've given this person? We know we're going Channing Tatum 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
What we're really asking is, are we going defensive or are we going apologetic?
Oh, it'd definitely be apologetic.
Okay, great.
And I would say the goal would be to provide an explanation.
Remind me, does she know that you messed up your back?
She does not.
Okay. Okay, yes, the back injury happened.
I've had no communication of any kind since the back injury.
No, because you got your nightmare email. And how long ago was this?
This was like in August, I think.
Oh, sorry. I missed that.
I think this was August. And that's I get injured in July.
Yep.
And the email comes August of 2018. So, and okay, I had last emailed her in like June of 2018.
This is a little different than some email roulettes because I think this is all in the packaging. We are going to try to convey the message, but the way that we're going to do it might be a nightmare for Griffin. Is that fair to say?
I don't know.
We're already living in my nightmare. Yeah. So, I mean, don't feel bad about holding back.
Yeah. Okay.
Subject line.
Yes, subject line. Okay, so Griffin, you type. Okay. Yes. Subject line, fresh start.
Okay, now here's a thought. I have been accused sometimes of self-flagellating too much, flagellating.
Sure.
Too much.
And we can't. You're Channing Tatum. We're not going to do that.
We're not going to do that.
Right.
And it's definitely, for sure, get your hands off the shift key. We are going all lowercase, buddy.
Oh, all lowercase? Not all uppercase?
Sure. No.
Okay, well, there may be some uppercase words in here.
No.
No?
No, Griffin, I'm so sorry. You misunderstood. The way this works is Matt and I are telling you what you're writing.
Oh, great. Okay. I did the wrong thing, and thank God it was not said out loud. Okay. Yep. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Fresh start.
Okay, fresh start. I'm typing fresh start.
Yes, you're typing fresh start.
Salutation.
Hey, bud.
Oh, I was thinking bro, comma, but I'm fine with yours, too.
No, hey, bud. Bro sounds too cartoonish. Hey, bud, comma.
I think that will not land well. Okay?
I already understand why. Let's see. Hey, bud.
Can't believe it's been this long.
Oh, this is insane.
This is, wow. Okay.
Can't believe it's been this long, and that's on me.
Can I say
taken? Can't believe it's taken this long?
Yes.
That's a fair note?
Okay. Which I think makes and that's on me even funnier.
That's my exact, okay. Taken this long, okay. And that's on me.
Next line.
Period.
Yeah, yep. Next line. Here's what you got to know.
Yes. Oh, I love this. Matt, this is my favorite thing you've ever done.
Here's what.
You got to know.
G-O-T-T-A?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I completely jacked my back.
Oh, now, Matt.
I think jacked needs to be all caps.
I completely agree. Matt, I'm so proud of you. This is my favorite work you've ever done.
I got to say, the tone of your voice, I did not think you were about to agree. But,
oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Period.
Period. Okay.
Maybe a few more details, like we're talking blank. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like slipped disc. What'd you do?
A herniated disc.
Yeah.
We're talking
L1 lumbar support.
Yeah, yes. L1.
Herniated
L1.
Herniated L1.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing.
Here's
we're
talking herniated L1, totally jacked.
Okay, comma.
Yep.
You know. Totally jacked.
Okay, period.
Yep.
Me? Yep.
Okay.
Double dash. On the shelf. How many weeks are we talking?
Because it was one of those things where I would then be like, I think I'm better, and then push myself, and then would be like, I'm not. And
great.
Then would
go on back to and them. Off the shelf.
Me on and off the shelf for months.
Yep.
Okay.
No excuse.
Period.
Yes, period. No excuse.
I said nope excuse.
Yeah, leave it.
Yeah.
Nope excuse.
Nope excuse, okay?
Yep.
That typo has now become a nightmare.
Nope excuse, but that's why. That's why I didn't respond.
Okay.
Here's what's new with me. I was thinking just a totally self-important update. A quick self-important update.
No. We want to keep the moral high ground. Okay. Here we are.
Here's the worst part of that,
we're
too.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
New paragraph, Channing Tatum.
Back is better.
One could even say back is back. I'm not typing.
Oh,
that was just
no.
A joke
back
I was
is
making.
Back is great. Back Fuck, is back.
I should have said that. I should not have said that.
Back
okay.
is
still
back.
Probably only, still probably just one tweak from getting laid up again.
Okay, but still probably.
I think it's still, I'm worried that's too self-pitying, Matt. Back is back, but still feel bad about the email.
That back butt doesn't really make sense.
Right, right. And I was picturing it as like, well, my back is better, but my heart still feels bad about this email.
Well, then I think then that's what we should say. I think we should great. Say, my back is better.
No, Griffin, you know we're saying my back is back.
My back is back.
But my heart still hurts.
But my heart still hurts.
Oh, great. Yep. Now I got it. I dropped the email ball.
Mm-hmm. I'm better than that.
No, I don't want to do the I'm better than that because I have a longer idea.
Okay.
I dropped the email ball, but here's me passing it back to you.
Wow. Oh, you're a very good writer. Okay.
God bless. Yeah, both I'm of you. Looking to staff. Okay. No judgment if you want to hold on to it for a little while.
No judgment. I like this. I like an extended metaphor.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Thinking about you, and I hope you're well.
Thinking about you. And hope you're doing well.
And hope you're well. G-man?
G-man?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Can I do sincerely? Will you allow me a sincerely here?
Sure. Yeah. Sincerely.
Okay. Sincerely.
But you're definitely... Nope. Sincerely spelled wrong. Go back.
Yep. I think it should be the G-man. Not
sincerely,
just G-man.
The G-man back on the Gmail.
I backed myself
G-mail,
into a corner.
Back on the Gmail.
I would just back on the G and just imply that it's Gmail.
That I think I'm going to let you do it, but I think that nobody's going to get that.
Can I just run by you how visually this looks?
Yeah, do it.
Scion Searly with a red squiggle, right? The G-man.
Yes.
And then parentheses.
Back on the Gmail. No, I like parentheses. There's an elegance to it.
Yep. Right? Because it makes it clear that that's not all my nickname.
Yep.
It's both a nickname and a status update.
Griffin, you know you just wrote G-nail, and we're going to keep G-nail.
Wow. Okay.
Beautiful. All right.
Back
we're going to set
that
aside.
G-mail. That makes perfect
we'll
sense.
We'll revisit it.
Okay.
We got to move. Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever order from Seamless?
I do, yeah.
Dining in.
Can we type Seamless into your search bar?
And I'll say this, in an effort to try to get through, chip away at my massive inbox,
mm-hmm.
I've occasionally been picking a company.
Right.
Like Lyft or whatever.
Right. And then just,
and gone like, type it in, delete them all.
That's what I recommend to most
right.
people.
So Seamless, I have successfully done that with.
Good for you.
That makes me feel a little okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, first result is you emailing say, look at Seamless orders, old emails from 2006.
Well, let's do that. Let's look at some old emails from 2006.
Okay. So type in 2006?
Yeah, let's just type in 2006, see what happens.
Now, I think I was still on AOL at this point in time.
Really?
I do.
Do you still have that?
I do have the AOL. It's still linked to my phone. Do we want to open up?
Yeah, let's open up the phone.
Okay.
Let's go to the phone.
I kept on to my AOL for a long time to try to prove a point. And I only joined when I was told we will not accept you into this group chain.
Yep, sure.
Unless you have a Gmail.
Sure.
I was sort of big dogged into joining.
Also, we're not going to say it out loud, but this is a fascinating email address.
It's a reference to a very obscure movie I like called Brewster McCloud.
Mm-hmm.
Has AOL been covered on this podcast?
I don't think so.
Wow. We had a Yahoo. We went to a Yahoo address.
You went to a Yahoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
Welcome.
Old friends will still try to reach me on this account.
Sure.
Because if they go like, hey, been a long time, don't know if you still check this. See, look, here's an additional 2K on this mailbox. But I will also often use this anytime I have to sign up for anything.
Ooh, also, we got to say, I don't know if people are hearing it, but the AOL login just has auto ads playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder why people don't use this service anymore.
Yeah.
Order receipts, coupons.
Sure.
Company emails. We're getting very few personal emails looking through here, the AOL.
So, right.
But do we want to go to 2006?
Yes, we do.
When it would have been all personal, baby. This is what I'm going to suggest we do. Organize by date.
Whoa.
And go backwards and see what the oldest thing I have saved is.
Oh, well, you know what? I'll tell you, Griff, that's a whole segment called Bottom of the Box.
Really?
Yeah.
The Bottom of the Box.
The Bottom.
2008.
Okay, so 2008 is the earliest that it's willing to save for you.
Wow.
But you got an AOL account way before 2008.
I did. I think I had a different one before that. Now, I feel like I probably switched over in about 2006, and maybe I successfully deleted all my emails. Up until this point in time, I was good at knocking them out.
Right.
And deleting them.
Okay.
But
it's not an email from the Rick Ross, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, yeah.
I have questions. So what's this first email that we're looking at? So we got to bottom of the box,
yeah.
July 22nd, 2008. What were you doing? What's going on July 22nd, 2008?
July 22nd, 2008. Oh, you know what this is? Okay, so here's kind of a crazy story. When I was in high school, one of my best friends had a band. And there was one of our science teachers turned out to secretly moonlight as an indie music blogger.
Okay, this is fascinating.
And he took, with permission, one of this kid's songs and put it on his blog. And it got like 100,000 downloads overnight.
Yes.
And it led to my friend getting a record deal when he was 15 years old.
Right. Okay. But how does that lead to you exchanging an email with somebody who works at Kodak?
Great question.
Thank you.
They liked the fact, this record label, that it was kids making music.
Oh, God.
So they were like, kids are going to make everything.
Including pictures?
Including music videos.
Oh, duh. Okay.
So I was their film friend. And they were like, can you make a music video for us?
Wait, who did? The band.
And the label.
The label, gotcha.
Right, they were like, pick a filmmaker
kid.
Your age.
Right.
And I was making videos.
Right.
So they were like, who do you want? And they were like, Griffin's going to do our video. And this record label was going to give money to my school to fund, because they couldn't pay me.
How old are you? 15?
I was 17, 18. This is my senior year of high school.
They could have paid you.
They didn't.
They paid your school?
Well, that was the plan. And then what happened was...
You stole the money.
So I was like, I want to shoot on like 16 millimeter, which is expensive.
Yes.
And the record label was like, we will give you the money.
Right.
To do this. And then 5 days before we were going to film, the record label went out of business. They were like a subsidiary of Virgin. And they were like, the music industry is dead. It's just online redistribution of your back catalog. And we're going to let all of our artists take their records wherever they want.
It's so weird that a company whose next great business plan was to hire children was not on the cutting edge.
Yes. So this was V2 Records, and they had like the White Stripes and people. So the
Stripes, they're real.
They were real. And they were like, White Stripes, here's your album. You could take it. You could do whatever you want with
it.
And they immediately found someone else to buy it.
Wild.
But my friends who were the Hysterics, or Hysterics was the name of the band, they had sort of... lost their heat.
Right.
3.5 years had passed. And one of my teachers sends a Hail Mary email to Kodak. And Kodak gave us all the film for free.
Wow.
And about a year later, the music video got featured on YouTube, back when YouTube had a homepage and there was one video of the day. It wasn't customized.
Is it a good video?
I think
it's
a good video.
In your opinion now, 10 years later.
I do. Yeah, I stand by it. It's very much directed by an 18-year-old.
Right.
I think it's a really impressive thing directed by an 18-year-old.
Right.
I would do everything differently today.
Sure.
But I do not feel embarrassed about it, and I feel embarrassed about almost everything I've done in my life. But I emailed this woman, thanking her because she was the only reason we were able to get it made.
But
this,
I
also
something?
Love this because I feel like looking at this email, you at this point in time, 11 years ago, are still trying to be, wow, that kid sends great emails.
Yeah, 100%.
Because
right?
you then say... For about 10 beautiful hours, it was the number one featured video on the homepage. And I think that's like a lovely way to describe that.
Yes.
I really want to reply to this woman right now.
Well, but do you see what the last thing I write is?
There's no way she still works here.
She said, please keep me posted on the next one.
Shot on film ever again.
That's really funny.
And I never directed a music video ever again.
And then as Matt said, she then responds, happy to hear of your successes. Please keep me posted on the next one.
Right.
Matt, does it undermine email roulette if we make Griffin respond to this email with, yo, I'm on the tick? Griffin, please.
And I have to send it?
Yeah.
I wonder if even works for this. It might bounce.
I know. It'll probably bounce. But if it doesn't.
Yeah. You just want to say, yo, I'm on the tick?
Yeah.
Period. Done.
Yeah. Yep.
Exclamation point.
Channing Tatum.
Exclamation
point. Oh, it's all caps. Yo,
yeah,
I'm on the tick. All caps. You want to be Channing Tatum 22 Jump Street.
All caps.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm on the tick.
Yes.
Yo, I'm on the tick.
Exclamation point.
I'm sending it. I'm mortified.
Griffin.
I am sending it.
Griffin, you're so cool.
You're literally lifting out of your chair. And now here's another great AOL thing. Now my page, now that I've sent an email, is flooded with like Invisalign style Smile Direct Club.
Hasn't bounced back yet.
No.
Has not bounced back
no.
yet.
We'll see.
I'm so happy. This is the happiest I've ever been.
We'll see. Because I know like Kodak almost shut down entirely. I would be surprised if most of the employees from 11 years ago were still there.
Yeah, I actually imagine it probably doesn't exist anymore, but they don't have any kind of... they never properly shut down the emails.
I don't that's think that's how like, it works. Yeah. Wait, no, you don't have to turn them off. Getting, you do not have to turn them off.
The email is just getting, it's just getting spit out in a big, dusty, empty room somewhere.
Okay, do I have permission to open up a new tab and search for this woman? I kind of want to see if I can find a result as to what she's doing.
Okay, but here's what I'll tell you right now. Yeah. If we find another contact email address for her, you're sending another email.
Boy. Oh, interesting.
Do we think this is real?
I think this is, and I think this is her Twitter right here. Which hasn't been updated.
Okay, click on her address.
Click on her address.
Her, her web address.
Her website? Address. Okay.
She has her home address here on her Twitter.
Shut up.
And film now, and TV director. So at the time, she was just an employee of Kodak, but now she's got a full website of her.
And we definitely think this is her?
Directing reel. I mean, this looks like her. I'm looking at this image here. For someone I haven't seen in 11 years.
No, oh, but you've met her.
I have met her once in person.
Oh, my God, I
love
this.
Now I just want to write her an email on her website.
I met her once in person. I thanked her in person.
Oh, this is so perfect.
And this looks like, I mean, you know, like several hairstyles later.
Right.
11 years, the passage of time. I believe this would be the same person.
This name is not Joan Smith. This is not, this name is.
It's a very specific name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she now is a life passion, but also still moonlighting at Kodak.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like really like excited that she's doing this well.
This is great.
Yeah.
I hope you guys cross paths in the future.
Well, we're about to because we sent her an email about
That's
3
true.
Minutes ago.
Okay. Can Griffin, while we're here on Twitter, can you log yourself into Twitter?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I had a fear about being doxxed momentarily.
Sure.
Where I changed, there we go, all my passwords to very stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stay logged into things.
Right.
But anytime I need to log in again, it's a problem because I can't remember which stupid thing I changed.
I get it. Yeah. I totally get that.
Okay, so we're on my Twitter now.
We're on your Twitter. I would love to
go. We
should
follow her first real quick.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, hard follow.
Oh, this is perfect.
Yeah, okay, amazing.
Okay, so let's go to what I want to see is, and I don't know what we're calling this segment, I want to see what you've liked.
Oh, okay.
Faves and saves.
That's a lot.
I find this fascinating, looking at what people have liked. So
I'm a liberal liker, I will say.
That's good to know.
I feel like some people try to make a statement with their likes by making them few and far between.
Right.
And I'll give soft likes.
Generous. 146,000 likes is a lofty number.
It's a lofty number, yeah.
Are you, so when you give a like, is it almost, is it like automatic behavior? Like you see something and you kind of like it,
like
so you have a compulsion to
reflex?
Like?
Reflex?
I would say very often, yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
You're on a TV show people love very much, so you get mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel an obligation to like any tweet that @s you in it, no matter who's sending it? Was that going to be your question, Matt?
It's close to that.
Okay, well then why don't you ask your version of it?
Well, my version of it is, how do you feel about the like instead of replying to someone? Like, I don't really know what to say to this person. I'm glad they mentioned me.
Yeah, right.
But I don't really have anything to say back, so I'll just hit the like.
I use that a lot.
Yeah.
If I have a response, even if it's like a succinct like thank you or heart emoji that I think will convey it, I try to push myself to do that, especially because it's nice when like people like the show and we're like a weird show.
Right.
So having fans who are vocal helps a lot. And I certainly am in a stage of paranoia now where I'm perpetually like checking the hashtag to see new things that people are tweeting about the show.
Why are you doing that? I just got. Yeah. No. Oof.
Right. Because I want to be able to signal boost positive things.
That's fair.
Now, I will say, been very lucky, very proud of season 2.
Right.
Have seen almost no negative things.
That's great.
Season 1, there was a lot more negative stuff.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like we've improved the show. There's that masochistic thing where I keep on searching for things about the show because I want to boost the positive ones, especially if it's like fan art or anything like that.
Don't you think there's an aspect of it where you're looking for the negative ones, though? Like you in a weird way want it or something?
Historically, for me, 100%. Because I'm like, I'm waiting for someone to call me out of my bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I have such imposter syndrome that I'm waiting for the person that's like, this guy can't act. And I'm like, oh, fine, okay, there's
it.
The thing.
I knew it.
And that's what you really want to boost.
Right. But what's kind of crazy is I haven't seen him this season.
That's great.
Yeah. But it also leaves me feeling more uneasy because I'm like, oh, when a bad one comes, it's going to be so bad.
It's going to be all the bad ones wrapped up in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not how it works, though.
But I do, yes. I like a lot of what people post about the show, especially if I feel like there's someone who posts regularly. I'm not going to respond to each one. So I just give them a little
tip.
Tip, tip.
So I also see that you are on the Kelly Quinn train.
You know what? I just found that today.
So Kelly Quinn is an actor, an improviser, who is trying to get cast as a barista on the new iteration of The L Word on Showtime. So there's a little bit of a Twitter movement for it.
So she specifically wants a very small part on the show.
Yes.
Is that right?
She posted this video that is incredibly funny of her playing the type of barista that exists on the L Word. And it's like 87 different scene fragments of just her delivering what the item is and what the name of the person it's for.
It has in different hats.
330,000 views.
So yesterday, the showrunner tweeted casting meetings this week for the L Word. Any folk y'all want to see on the show?
Mm-hmm.
So she was like trying to get like big names.
Yes.
See who the fans want. But now, of course, a lot of people in our New York comedy community are boosting Kelly Quinn video.
Delightful.
Because it's like a perfect tee-up.
Right.
Some other actor I follow tweeted, like, I would like to be considered for the show.
Oh, really?
So then I was like, I'm curious to see who else is in this thread.
And then you found?
The top 40 responses were all Kelly Quinn. So I was like, what's the thing here? Watched the video, loved it, and then liked all of the other people that we're friends with.
Yep, that's delightful.
Hey, Griffin, is there one email in your history that you wish you could unsend? Does anything jump out when I ask you that question?
It's one of those things, you know, the joke in The Simpsons about how Mr. Burns has like Three Stooges disease, where he's got so many diseases that they all jam up the door and none of them can get through and kill him. I'm having that thing now where it's like, you ask me that, I immediately gut punch go, oh, yeah. And then I can't think of one because there are so many.
Right.
Would it be fair to say it's all of them?
I'd say it's almost all of them.
Yeah, there we go.
Right. I think that's the honest answer. Yep. In one way or another, I wish I could get a do-over on every single email.
Let's do my mystery segment. So this is a segment I told Matt I was pitching. I thought about it during the hiatus. It's called, Are You on Goodreads?
Are you on Goodreads?
And in it, we ask, Griffin, are you on Goodreads?
I'm not. And not only that.
That's what I expected.
I don't feel like I fully know what Goodreads is.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I love it so much. This is going to be, Matt, a regular segment on the show now.
Okay.
And cool. I expect it to go about this long every time.
Okay.
It's literally just a website where you document what books you've read. And then you're friends with other people and you can see what they're reading.
Is there an app that accompanies it?
Yeah, there's a Goodreads app. Okay. It's the best social network app at all. And that's it. It's just about
what books
you're
reading. Is there like comments that are dropped? Like, love your list? Like,
yeah.
Are there read-ups that happen? Like,
no, there's not read-ups. Stupid.
Yeah, what a dumb question.
I can picture Nicole having like a read-up with somebody.
There's a Letterboxd is like the film equivalent.
Exactly, yes.
And I was really into Letterboxd and was trying to be very methodical about posting everything and putting my little two cents in when I could. What happened is hosting a movie podcast.
Oh, sure.
People would start reading it obsessively to try to guess what movies we were going to cover on the show.
But wait,
So we try to bank up episodes in advance.
Of course, yes.
Because like with the tickets, like for 4 months, I'm going to be out of commission at least and other points in time during the year. So we want to always have a bunch of episodes saved up in case I get shipped away to Siberia for like, you know, a month or two.
Yes.
We pick like a director.
Right.
And then we'll go through all of their films in order.
Yes.
So if they see that we're posting like four films by the same director,
right?
Uh-huh. Then they'll go like, oh, you're doing that person.
And then?
But sometimes that person is 4 months away.
Right.
Okay.
And because people get so invested in excitement over who it's going to be, we've now started to prioritize secrecy over it.
Oh, because they can't wait. They're going to get mad. Like, when is this episode going to drop? You guys are doing. Is that
and
what you mean?
And they like the excitement of the splash of the announcement. But like yesterday, David Sims and I, my co-host, we're like vaguely mapping out the next year.
Wow.
Like we pretty much have figured out until the end of next April.
I want to be clear. We have hard announcement, hard follow, soft like so far.
Yep. Yes.
I cannot imagine creating anything that has excitement around it.
It's very weird.
That sounds great.
And David logs everything on Letterboxd.
Right.
So then if people see that we both have been watching the same movies.
Right.
So you're out of the letterbox game.
Look, there's no reason for us to be keeping these things secret.
You explained the reason as best you can.
And the other thing is, the more that people tried to sniff around it and try to guess,
right,
the more it became fun to hold back.
Yes.
Which now happens. So I've like stopped using Letterboxd because I don't want to tip people off.
Right.
And he'll post like 7 movies in a row that are all connected by something.
Yes.
And people will immediately go to Reddit and be like, we've cracked it.
So funny.
But sometimes it's just that he's a weird compulsive person.
Right.
And he'll be like, I want to watch every John Grisham adaptation.
But he's not trying to.
It means nothing.
It means nothing.
He's not trying to throw up a smokescreen.
No.
When he does that.
No. We'll do smokescreens as a joke.
Gotcha.
On the show. We'll be like, obviously the next director we're covering is Brer Ratner.
Right.
Like we'll like constantly refer to someone we'll never going to discuss.
Wild.
Right. But it has become like a thing.
And this is blank check related, this tweet that you've most recently liked. Can you explain this tweet to me?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So this is Associated Press tweeted today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Seinfeld, Uma Thurman, Andre Agassi, Michelle Pfeiffer, Daniel Day-Lewis. Quite a big day.
Yes. Huge.
And this woman, Amanda Hasaka, who listens to the show, tweeted at myself, David, my co-host, Ben Hosley,
yes,
who just
Ben.
30 minutes ago tapped on the window of the recording studio, our producer here at Audio Boom, and said, wishing an early happy birthday to Dan Lewis, the shoe cobbler.
Yes.
Now, Daniel Day-Lewis, you know, takes these long sabbaticals from acting.
Right.
Right now, he's saying he's never going to act again.
Yeah.
And the thing was, apparently, he liked sewing so much on Phantom Thread that he wanted to become a fashion designer.
I didn't know that.
And no one knows if that's what he's actually pursuing, but that was the rumor. There was a period of time in the 90s when he disappeared.
Yes.
And people thought Daniel Day-Lewis was never going to come back. And he did, by all accounts, move to Italy and cobble shoes out of nowhere.
Very Elena Ferrante.
He had never studied that for a role. And it's never been 1,000% confirmed.
That's great.
But by all accounts, he became a shoe cobbler. Once in an episode, Ben, who is not as much of an obsessive film fan as David and I are.
Right.
Referred to Dan Lewis.
That's so funny.
And we said, who's Dan Lewis? He said, Dan Lewis, the actor. There Will Be Blood. And we said, who the fuck are you calling him Dan Lewis like he's your buddy? And then he said, yeah, I mean, he's my buddy.
Oh.
Dan Lewis. We used to cobble shoes together in Italy. And almost any time Daniel Day-Lewis shows up in the news, Ben will like tweet about it. He'll retweet the news item and will be like, I told Dan not to do this, but he didn't listen to me. And he's just 100% committed to the bit that, like, the Daniel Day-Lewis is one of his, like, scumbum friends from New Jersey.
That's so funny.
Who they're constantly consulting on life decisions with each other. So that's the most recent like, is wishing an early happy birthday to Dan Lewis, the shoe cobbler.
What a delightful like.
Yeah.
Let's do a search alert.
Okay.
Search alert.
Griffin, I don't know if we're going to find anything, but I would love to do a search for the phrase, in quotes, respectfully disagree.
Oh, great. Okay.
Do we think the quotes are necessary, right?
I do, yes.
Yes. But there's one email that, go back to unquotes.
Yeah, so, yeah. Unquotes, we had 4 results.
There's one thread that looks interesting
to
me. And it's that first one.
Yep.
This one?
No.
The bottom one. You think we want to look at your self-tapes? Get out of here.
Thank God we're not going down that corridor.
Oh, God. Is there any phrase worse than the phrase self-tape? Okay, so this is a thread from not that long ago.
No, this is from about a year ago, May 7th, 2018.
And the subject is moving out.
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
This was an email thread with my old landlord.
Oh, God bless. This is what it's all about.
Yeah,
this is the good stuff.
And
his son, who I believe is
younger than me.
Right?
Oh, my God. We're starting with your first email. Griffin, do you mind just reading a little bit of
it? I'm not going to read the name of the person.
Of course not.
But I emailed the landlord himself.
Yes.
And then the response I got was from his son, who he's clearly been trying to sort of train to take over the business.
Got it.
Yes, yes.
I need to move out, period. Between this openly antagonistic bullshit with the third floor and a portion of my ceiling collapsing for what feels like the umpteenth time, I'm losing sleep and in a perpetual state of anxiety.
Now, can we, Griffin, I know you want to stop, but I'm going to make you read this next flex.
I was on set writing this email in between takes.
Oh, God.
Okay?
After having not slept. So we empathize with the sentence that's coming up next.
Great, because it's a big flex.
Yep.
And the other thing I just want to say here is the night before this, I had to, at 2 o'clock in the morning, go get a hotel room.
Why?
Because this was a Wednesday night.
Yes.
Right after my ceiling collapsed and my upstairs neighbors were constantly throwing parties on
the
weekday.
Are they related to the ceiling collapse, do you think? Are they to blame?
I think the building is crappy.
Yeah.
And my upstairs neighbors were crappy.
Where did the ceiling collapse?
In like a room.
Like underneath the dance floor of the party?
Yeah. There's what do you, you're looking at me like I'm weird. This is why we're not friends. What do you mean a room?
Which room? Yeah, what room are you hiding?
The drawing room or the parlor? What do you mean a room? Was it a bedroom, a living room, a bathroom, or a kitchen?
I had a room that I kind of used as like an office.
Oh, that's what happened. You didn't want to say my office.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Read the next sentence.
Okay. So I went out and I stayed at a crappy hotel near the sound stages.
That's so stressful.
In the hopes that I would get more sleep.
Right.
So the next sentence here, just with that context, is I am the lead actor on a TV show, and I'm shooting 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. I pay you so that I have a place to sleep and relax when I'm off from work, and increasingly I find myself having that completely upended with drama and frustration.
Oh, boy.
This is a good email.
Wait, okay, now block out the next name, but this also, there's good drama in the next sentence. Ugh.
Blank has made it clear that she has no consideration for anyone else in the building, is willing to blatantly lie to cover her ass, and I can't keep subjecting myself to the threat of losing sleep any night she decides to throw a party.
What was the lie?
The lie was, I said, you can't keep throwing parties during the week.
Yes.
So then I said, I'm calling the landlord.
Right.
And she said, do that. I go downstairs.
Yes.
I call him.
Yes.
I hear her pick up the phone and say, I'm not having a party.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant she was posing as the landlord.
She was still so loud. I, while he was on the phone with her, was texting him the transcripts of what she was saying to prove how loud she was.
Right.
It was a disco-themed birthday party.
Right.
And not only that, when I knocked on the door to complain, one of the people yelled, oh, shut up. It's a party, bitch.
Oh.
On a Wednesday night. This is absurd. Now, Griffin, here's what I'm going to say, though. Here's, I think, an important lesson, and it's bringing us full circle.
Yeah.
This email, which was written in a fit of frustration and
absolute
passion.
Rage. Yeah.
And a short time constraint, is very eloquent.
I think so. That's because I'm rereading this now, and I'm like,
this is a well-written email.
It looks like it resolved, too. Like, that you didn't get a confrontation back.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh, I did. Here's what happened. I said, I need to move out.
Right.
And they said, you can move out if you want, but you're going to have to still pay the next 3 months' rent.
Oh.
Now, the argument was, I was on a month-to-month lease. It wasn't that I was ending the lease before a set-upon end date. It was that their argument was that you needed to give upwards of 90 days' notice before you terminated the lease.
Well, that's not a month-to-month lease, then.
One could argue that this lease I signed was a little dodgy.
Uh-huh, gotcha.
And that pointedly, they never sent me a copy of the lease. So the rules of the lease seemed to move around a lot. It was really a moving target. So then I pulled up the section on the lease that invoked the fact that any resident who breaks the quality of life agreements of noise would have their lease terminated. So then my whole retaliation was, you cannot hold me to the standards of the lease that benefit you and not protect the standards of the lease that benefit me if I sign the same thing.
This is incredible. And you sign your emails, Griff, but there is something about them responding to you as, hey, Griff, that just feels like that's bananas.
How dare you?
Yes, exactly.
Right. I can call myself that. That's my word. You're not allowed to call me that, except you, Nicole, because you asked. You
yes. Know. Okay, good.
Can I just point out quickly, a new email came into the AOL inbox.
Oh, we need to check. Yeah,
Oh my God.
We need to check that. Oh, my.
Automatic reply. Wow.
Oh, this is amazing.
Thank you for contacting Kodak. Blank, the name of the person, has decided to return to the exciting life of filmmaking and will no longer be at Kodak as of March 31st, 2016.
We just missed.
She was also there for a long time. We didn't just miss 3 years.
It feels close.
It's close.
Feels closer than you would have expected.
Yeah,
but this
I agree
is kind
that.
Of the perfect email because it's like, now I know the exact narrative of what's happened in her life. I like that it didn't get forwarded to her.
Yep.
And that Kodak is still extending the olive branch of like, look, if you want to get in touch with our film project coordinator,
you should tell that person you're on the tick.
All right. Chickens to
That's
come home
to whatever. That's a beautiful. I'm glad that paid off.
It's time for chickens to come home to whatever.
Okay.
Whatever.
Griff Griffin, it's time for the second half of Email Roulette.
Okay.
I have a thought about this email.
Okay.
I think we need to amp up the Tatum a little bit in a couple spots.
Okay,
I feel
you
like
can
it,
go for it. Let's do a reread.
Okay. Fresh start. hey, bud, can't believe it's taken this long, and that's on me. Here's what you got to know. I completely jacked my back. Jacked, all caps. We're talking herniated L1. Totally jacked. Me, on and off the shelf for months. Nope excuse, but that's why I didn't respond. My back is back, but my heart still hurts. That's still, I really think that's a pretty line.
Yeah.
That's a good turn of phrase. I dropped the email ball, but here's me passing it back to you. No judgment if you want to hold on to it for a while. Thinking about you and hope you're well. Sincerely, the G-man, parentheses, back on the G-nail.
That's good. I'm happy with it.
Okay.
All right, Griffin, here's the deal, okay? Mm-hmm. You have to answer this correctly in one shot or else you are sending this email.
Great. Okay.
Wikipedia, the internet's knowledge database, is so ubiquitous that it spawned a genre of music in its honor called wiki-oriented rock. The songs are mainly parodies, but one has caught attention more than the others. Which is the official Wikipedia theme song? A, Wikipedian Rhapsody. B, Wiki Submarine. C, Smells Like Wikipedia. Or D, Hotel Wikipedia. There are no clues in this one, are there? And Nicole and I don't know the answer.
And these are like four of the best-selling songs of all time.
These parodies are four of the best-selling songs
Yes,
of all time.
Yes. And also the songs they're parodying.
Yes.
Are four of the best.
And I can repeat anything. Again, Nicole and I do not know the answer.
Okay.
So you, Nicole generally pretends to help but actually wants to undermine you.
But Rachel is the only one who has vetted this question.
Yes, Rachel's the only person in the world who knows the answer
to
this.
Okay, the only one. She wrote this question. And she wrote the parody song.
Yes.
Here's what's interesting to me. You said there's an entire subgenre. So it's not like only one of these songs can exist. Potentially all four of these songs could exist. One has been considered.
Is the one.
Anointed, the official.
Which one do you think is the best one?
I think Wikipedian Rhapsody. And it feels like the one that would probably be the most all-encompassing. The other songs, just based off of the source material.
Yeah.
And what the title invokes,
so
feel like they're probably kind of slight.
Wiki Submarine has no overlap with Yellow Submarine other than Submarine.
Right.
Like Wiki and Yellow, no overlap.
Right.
Smells Like Wikipedia and Teen Spirit don't overlap either.
And Wikipedia doesn't smell.
Wikipedian Rhapsody has the same ending as Bohemian Rhapsody. And Hotel Wikipedia, Hotel California, I guess,
which is
in theory.
Hotel California is just like, what a lovely place. Like, that just feels like writing a song about how they have the best website, you know, all these wiki editors.
Okay, but
so Wikipedian Rhapsody is the one that feels to me like it's like someone trying to sell the grandeur, the scope of what they've accomplished with Wikipedia.
You think it's a trap, Nicole?
Well, my first instinct for all the reasons that you described was Wikipedian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
But now, if you think about it, Hotel Wikipedia would scan in a parody song.
Welcome to Hotel Wikipedia. What do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, that sounds like a potential. I can picture that more than I can picture the lyrics of Wikipedian Rhapsody.
But once again, nothing is saying that all of these don't exist. The question is, in a universe in which all four of these parodies existed, which one would get elevated to the status of unofficial theme song. And here's another thing I'm thinking about.
I also think Smells Like Wikipedia. I could see that happening.
Well, look, I think it would be a banger. No question. But what I'm thinking about is if someone successfully parodied the entirety of Bohemian Rhapsody, that would be such an accomplishment.
It's an achievement,
That you kind of have to give it up to them because that's a long-ass song with a lot of different movements.
Yeah.
But my argument there is I think that people would think of it as an accomplishment. I don't actually think it's an accomplishment because it's just like a bunch of fucking text and that's all Wikipedia is. It wouldn't be – I'm saying I could write it.
When you're saying
it's a bunch of fucking text, I think that's why the overlap is good. And also, you're saying you wouldn't appreciate it, but we're not talking about what you appreciate.
Exactly. No, I know.
We're talking about what the Wickers. The Wickers, what do they call themselves?
Not Wickers.
The Wicker men and women?
Yeah, the Wicker men and women. All right, so Griffin, what's
and
your
argument is that also Nicole genuinely and generally
her
tries
intentions
to,
are
like,
not always, above the boards. Yeah,
for the first time in the entire podcast, Griffin has turned his back to me.
Okay, well, I'm turning my back, and I am going to lock in final answer, Wikipedian Rhapsody. Rachel?
Rachel says no.
What?
Yeah, Rachel's shaking her head. Rachel says no.
Wow.
Rachel, what's the answer?
Hotel Wikipedia.
Wow.
We knew we had it down to those two. We should have 50-50. Well,
we should have done a 50-50.
A friend.
I should have
Oh, you could have phoned a friend, but who would you have phoned? You didn't trust her.
That's true. There's no friends. No friendship. What's the motto?
No friendship, no mercy.
No friendship, no mercy. Here's a question for Rachel. Mm-hmm. Do we know if all of these songs exist?
All of the rest of them exist.
Yeah. Wow. And I guess Bohemian Rhapsody just.
This is a man going to the gallows who's just asking a few questions on his way there to.
You know what you have to do.
I do. And look, I mean, I just want when the books are written.
Yep.
You know, when this goes down in history, when the Wikipedia entry is written about this episode.
That's what it'll be.
I want people to remember that I was a guest who also agreed to send the earlier Kodak email.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Yep.
That I came into this with a commitment.
Yes.
To change.
Yep. And you did. And you are. And you sent two really important emails today.
I sent two huge emails.
You're leaving here a new man, I think.
I'm leaving here a Griffin new man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Nicole is pumping her fist in the air.
Yes, well, because a Griffin man. Yeah, that's good. That's a good joke.
Yeah.
And if you want to find us, you can get us at inboxthepodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at inboxthepodcast.
What was that noise?
I was clearing my throat
off mic.
Well,
it was not off mic.
Well,
it's not off mic.
It carried. I turned everyone, if you got that. I was a throat clear.
Okay.
When we're talking about wet shaving, we're talking about shaving with a razor and
yes.
your face is wet.
Right.
And isn't that just shave? Like for
that is what blew my mind too, was that they had to specify that it was wet shaving because this podcast isn't for those dry shaving freaks.
Oh, wow.
Which I guess must be like a very loud minority.
Right. But like I would assume dry shaving needs its own communities, spaces.
Right.
Not that wet, but wet shaving I would assume
doesn't need a community.
Right. That's like somebody who, I water brush my teeth.
Right. But they eulogized a guy on an episode of the podcast I listened to, and they were like, you know, if you were on the message boards, you know. I mean, he was a guy with some radical theories.
Oh, wow.
You know, he wasn't afraid to speak his mind.
Are you sure wet shaving means what you think it does?
I mean, they were talking about, like, you know, the radicals who against the grain rather than with the grain.
Like quite literally the radicals who go against the grain,
right,
not the metaphorical
use
of against the grain.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Now, I think the prevailing wisdom these days is you go with the grain and then a couple times against the grain at the very end. Is that right?
Right.
Is that what you would do?
Yeah, I think, yeah.